Don't worry.
Be happy. Oh, that's a fabulous segue into our next guest. And the fabulous Bobby McFerrin. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. I love it. Our next guest is Chris Mackie. Did I pronounce your name correct? I suddenly
realized. You did. It's Chris Mackie. That's right, Sally.
I was going to say Mackie, and then I'm very funny about pronunciations. With a name like Coburn, spelt C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N, I have to be a little bit funny.
Fair enough. About names.
Now, you are the resident psychologist on Channel 9 show Destination Happiness, but your book is called The Positive Psychology of Synchronicity, Enhance Your Mental Health with the Power of Coincidence. Now, if that doesn't sort of whet people's appetite, so tell us a little bit about what is the power of coincidence got to do with mental health?
Well, when it boils down to it, synchronicity means meaningful coincidences. And so some of the more common examples are thinking of someone that you haven't seen for a long time and suddenly running into them. And that can add to your sense of connection, or thinking of a friend that you haven't had contact with for a while, then you actually contact them and find out that they are actually needy of some support at that stage. So it can add to a sense of connection is one example.
131-873, if you'd like to be part of the discussion. We're talking about the power of coincidence and how it can really boost your mental health. And I want to ask you and tell you a little story, if I may, Chris, about
sure.
what happened to me. As a doctor, I'm a GP, and I often think about my patients. They just pop into my head.
Yes.
And I always thought, oh, you know, that's just me popping into my head. One day, I remember there was a woman who had a baby that was unwell and was in the I didn't know that at that stage. That's right. She'd had a baby, and I didn't know how she was. And I did know. Her baby was in intensive care,
right.
And I was thinking about her, and I thought, I wonder how she's getting on. I remember getting her history out, and I remember dialing her number. We didn't have answering machines in those days, and we didn't have caller ID. It was just an ordinary landline. I didn't leave a message or anything like that. She turned up about 2 days later, and I hadn't seen her for months. And I just thought it was incredible. And she said, yeah, I made the appointment a few days ago. I was thinking about you, Sally. And I was talking to a psychic one
yes.
day, and I said, am I touting on the airwaves for my patients to come and see me? And the psychic said, no, they're thinking about you, and they're sending a message to you. Now, are we sending, you know, sort of EMR psychic messages? What is this synchronicity?
I think we are. I think there's a greater sense of connection. There is a connection that we have that comes across at times like that. And a similar kind of example is when I was writing the book, the first edition that came out a few years ago, there are about four different clients I was thinking of that I wanted to tell their story, that there was a little bit of the story left. Several of these clients booked in with me, one after 20 years,
wow.
one after 5 years, and another one, her partner came along, and I said, I'd been thinking of getting in touch with your partner, your wife, because I was thinking of writing a case study about her, if that was all right with her. And he said, right at the moment, she's at home reading a book written by Carl Jung, who is the person who developed the idea of synchronicity or meaningful coincidences. So again and again and again, there were these connections coming up.
Have you spoken to other clinicians? Because you're a clinician and
yes.
you work in an area of this sort of positive psychology. And
yes.
You're a
clinical psychologist.
Clinical psychologist.
Yes.
Have you talked to other colleagues? Because I found that when I brought it up with other colleagues initially, they sort of looked at me and they said, well, actually, it's happened to me too. And
that's a wonderful thing these days. Even in the last 4 years since the first edition came out, what strikes me is people are more ready to talk about this kind of thing.
Mm.
And when it boils down to it, most of the people in the Western world, if you look at each continent and if people are surveyed to ask if they believe in paranormal phenomena, more than half the people in each continent do believe in paranormal phenomena, but they might not tell their stories to other people because they might think it sounds too weird, or others will think they're crazy. So I think we should lift the lid on that and make it easier for people to acknowledge these meaningful experiences.
Well, and when you say paranormal, people think about those red-green cameras on the telly where they go into haunted houses. You're not talking about that so much. You're talking about the connection between people.
Yes, it could be a psychic connection. It could be anticipating that something might happen. It could be a sense of deja vu. It could be, it is actually at times getting a sense that something might happen and then it does. And we can talk about that as a kind of prospection or looking ahead.
The skeptics would say, yeah, but what about all the times when you thought something was going to happen and it didn't happen?
Yes, and that's where I think it's important to document things where there's much less chance of that. For example, when I wrote about experiencing multiple sixes, so a number of people have the experience of, say, seeing 11:11 on a clock, and they think it happens so often that it's more than chance. And I think for many people it is more than chance. But for me, it was often repeated number of sixes. For example, when my wife and I were first going out, when we were dating, we'd often end up staying on the sixth floor, the sixth room on the sixth floor, say room 606 or whatever. That happened so often that I wrote a chapter about these repeated sixes. The next hotel room that we stayed in after I wrote that chapter was room 606 in a 300-room hotel.
Wow.
And there are many other examples that happened just after I wrote that chapter. Mm. So some things, if you documented or recorded or whatever, you get a sense it's way more than chance.
Well, that's why with this particular patient, I remembered because I'd left her file sitting on my desk.
Yes.
And because often you think, oh, did I really think that? Did I really do that? But there it was, and I knew I had contacted her. 131873, have you ever had coincidences? Has something happened to you where you've anticipated it and it's happened, or that you've thought of a friend and they've turned up? Look, I think we hear it all the time with couples.
Yes.
You know, my mum and dad didn't have to talk to each other. They just knew what was going on.
And could complete each other's sentences, perhaps. And I think that's a kind of sympathy or empathy, if you like, that you can understand with people living with each other and getting to know each other so well. That can seem uncanny, but especially seems uncanny when people are at a great distance and they think of contacting the other one. Or you hear of stories of identical twins, and one will call the other and say, hey, has something happened to your knee? I've got this pain in my knee. Yes, I had a bad fall. I'm in the hospital at the moment after injuring my knee.
Now, has there been sort of, we've talked tonight on the show about evidence base. Has someone done research into this to see what is the basis of this?
I think a lot of it is anecdotal at this stage. So in terms of systematic research, I think not so much. But there are books like, for example, Carl Jung's book on memories, dreams and reflections, where there are the most uncanny kind of coincidences. And I include some of those in my book as well. For example, the repeated sixes. And I mentioned how that was significant early on when I was dating my wife. Well, when we got engaged, and I hadn't planned it quite this way, I planned to get engaged the day before. But it turned out it was 6 o'clock on the 6th of June.
Oh, no.
And then 6 years later, and this is something you don't plan, I was actually admitted to a psychiatric hospital with a severe depression. This was 30 years ago. It's 6 o'clock on the 6th of June. And I thought, now that is such an uncanny date that I didn't really process that so much at the time. But when later on I realised that auspicious date, that led me to think, look, something meaningful might come from this. Mm. And, of course, going through that depression 30 years ago, I've never been depressed a day since my recovery from that. That was some of the most worthwhile learning I've gone through in my life. In my work as a clinical psychologist, I learned so much from that. Mm. And fortunately, I had that background belief that, you know, good tends to come from synchronistic experiences. Mm. They're not all good. But often they are, and I often see synchronicity, meaningful coincidences, as like a tick from the universe that you're on the right track.
Well, I found this incredibly positive. And I'm going back 25, 30 years that this happened to me with this patient. But to this day, I remember how good I felt, that I sort of felt I've got a connection with you.
Now, again, there's the connection and feeling good. And now if we tie this in with the theory of positive psychology, when we look at happiness, we look at happiness as having five different dimensions that are called the PERMA model, P-E-R-M-A. P is positive affect. And you mentioned like even having a bit of a good feeling 30 years later when you remember back to that particular patient. That's positive affect. There's also a sense of engagement. That's the E, engagement in our life roles, engagement in our relationships. R is for relationships or connections. We have this extra sense of connection with people. M is for meaning or personal meaning. So for me, part of that was that 6th of June, going through a depression, coming through that and learning so much from the other side, so to speak. And then A, achievement. Often people find it affirming, and so it helps you achieve.
I also think one of the things that's incredible, and I don't know whether you were able to hear our guest in the studio earlier, Josie, who has made something that could be devastating into something positive. And what you're talking about with coming through depression, which some people may look back and say, oh, isn't that terrible? But you've taken the positive things out of it. Where have I gone from? Where have I ended up?
And that's often how it goes. And so there's a mythical notion that applies to all life called the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the hero gets a call to adventure or faces a crisis or challenge.
Mm.
Then stage two of four stages is the dark night of the soul, having to fight a dragon or get out of some terrible situation. The third stage is some kind of epiphany or some kind of initiation or coming through the challenge. And the fourth stage is returning home with the boon.
Do you know what? I had no way of knowing this. This is a coincidence. What you have just described then is almost identical to what Josie said earlier on this evening about her journey. And so there's the synchronicity. We've got Mark on the phone. Hello, Mark. You there, Mark?
Yes.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Hi, Mark.
I've had psychic, sort of semi-psychic, deep intuitive experiences for over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bit of a, I'm not sure, like a bit of an attraction for the number 23 as well.
Right.
I'm not sure if you know anything about 23 Enigma. But I've had plenty of conversations with people about coincidences, etc. And quite a few times people have said to me that every time they look at the clock, they see 11:11.
Yes.
Now, for me, it's number 23, right?
Yes.
Now, in 24-hour time, 11 is 23. But my argument there is 11:11 only occurs twice a day.
Right.
So that's probably, I think the coincidence is that that's where they, when they look and they don't realise that they glanced at the clock and it's the same time. Is that what you were getting at, Chris?
Yes, but sometimes it seems very uncanny how people pick that time. It's not just that it's each time of day they might be looking at the clock.
Indeed.
Then sometimes it's in unexpected situations.
Indeed. Mark, thanks for your call. 1-3-1-8-7-2, 1-3-1-8-7-3. I said the wrong number then. 1-3-1-8-7-3. That's the number. I'm joined by Chris Mackey, and he is the resident psychologist on Channel 9's show Destination Happiness. Just briefly, tell us about Destination Happiness.
So Destination Happiness is a TV well-being show where it has a number of segments that reflect principles of positive psychology and positive health and well-being and mental health. So there's a segment at the start called Happy People. And many of the people who are on that segment have had challenges in their life that they've risen above.
Mm.
Not all. It can include celebrities like Janine Alice and others who've really achieved a great deal. But there are others like, say, the street barber in Geelong who had some harsh experiences in life himself and then acts in an uplifting way. People are homeless. He finds people are homeless and gives them a free haircut and sees the difference it makes to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we like also covering stories of normal, uplifting people who've got around challenges in their life, like that hero's journey we talked about.
Yep.
There's also a happy mind segment where I talk about principles of positive psychology. It might be gratitude or compassion, but it also might be talking about dealing with addictions or grief or trauma as well. Then there's a section on happy travels, a section on happy pets. And so we cover a range of different kind of things that are looking to be uplifting.
When's it on?
So 12 o'clock on Saturdays on Channel 9, and it's repeated on Sundays at 10 o'clock on 9 Life, and it's on catch-up on 9 Now, so people can look back even over episodes from the first couple of seasons. This is the third season, and we're about 8 episodes in.
Fantastic. I'll be watching tomorrow. 131-873 is the number to call. If you've had an experience with coincidences that you've sort of thought, oh, I can't really talk about that because no one will believe me, I have a strong feeling that, look, if I can pick up a mobile phone and talk to someone way away away with no wires, well, why can't someone I'm thinking about also, you know, I mean, people don't like to...
Well, there are these connections. One of the things that interests me is that synchronicity is not so different from other aspects of physical science. For example, there's this principle in science called entanglement that they speculated about 100 years ago. Now they've proven. What this means, if you get two objects like, you know, like electrons or particles, bring them in contact with each other and then separate separate them across one end of the world, technically one end of the universe to the other. And if you do something which affects the spin of one electron, then immediately, absolutely the same time across the other side of the universe, the other one will be affected. Now, I don't understand the physics of that, but I know it was demonstrated in the 60s and 70s. And if physical objects can be affected instantaneously at a distance, they can be connected, then why not people's minds?
Look, Chris, the longer I go in Western medicine, the 37 years in Western medicine, the more I've got my open mind to listen to other things. And I think that's what we have to do. The closed mind is our enemy. We're going to take a break and come back with more after this.
Until 10, you're listening to Saturday Night with Sally Coburn.
That is one of my all-time favourite songs by one of my all-time favourite singers, Bill Withers. Lovely Day. Thank you for that one, Jono. Jono is our Mr. Music, who is choosing some songs along with the rest of the team, Bron and Sam. And I am joined in the studio by Chris Mackie. He's a clinical psychologist who has written a book called The Positive Psychology of Synchronicity: Enhance Your Mental Health with the Power of Coincidence. Are you saying embrace these coincidences? Don't try and say, it couldn't possibly have happened.
Yes, I am, because I think that with that sense of connection that people can get from it, with a sense of affirmation that people can get from it, with a sense that some things are meant to be, that there's some higher organising force in the universe, that's very sustaining for people who are, we might call, spiritual but not religious. Mm-hmm. It's also sustaining for people who are religious, but 25 to 30% of the general population would describe themselves as spiritual but not religious, and these experiences give you a sense that some things are meant to be. It can be like sliding doors moments.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, I don't really understand how a microwave works, but it can cook my dinner. I don't need to know how it works, but it makes me nice dinner. Can I apply that logic to this, which is, I don't know what that power is, that I don't know what that coincidence is. It goes against my scientific brain, but it makes me feel good.
I think that makes sense. Actually, about as well as I've heard it put is my grandmother said that life is like a jigsaw puzzle. The longer you live, the more you see the jigsaw puzzle pieces fall into place. Many people have that kind of experience, and I think that's where many people do get a deepened sense of meaning and purpose through life as well. And now we know that that has many benefits, that kind of spiritual belief. We know that when people have a sense of life purpose or meaning, or things make sense to them, or there's a sense of a higher organising force, people tend to recover better from physical illnesses, tend to live longer. It's good. People are less likely to get depressed. They tend to recover better from depression. Many health benefits from a spiritual perspective.
I was saying to you just before we went on air about a study that was done by Parks Victoria and Deakin University quite some years ago. And if you want to find out about this study, it's Healthy Parks, Healthy People. And I was involved in the 1990s doing this. And I wasn't involved in the study. I was involved with Healthy Parks, Healthy People. And what they found, and I'll give you an example. They took a group of people who were all having a gallbladder operation.
Right.
And they put half of the people on one side of the building where they looked out over a lovely garden and all the rest of it, and the other people were in the other side of the building, which looked at a red brick wall. The people who looked over the green environment actually did better. They needed less pain relief, and they got out of hospital quicker with less complications. Proving, and what I'm getting at is, so if looking at a green environment can help your brain reorganize itself, then feeling positive things about synchronicity must.
I think so
principle.
As well. Like looking onto greenery, it's like a connection with nature, but also a sense of something's being meant to be, these meaningful coincidences at a larger scale in life. That's like a kind of connection to nature too, but it's like connecting with the universe. That's why I call it a tick from the universe, feeling that you're on the right track.
Tell me, how do your mainstream hard-nosed, evidence-based clinical psychologists react to this sort of talk?
Generally, they react fine so long as you get them away from a conference podium or from a conference session proper. Actually, they did a study in Britain not that long ago, a few years ago, and they found that just under 50%, 44% of counsellors had experienced synchronicity in their sessions with clients, and two-thirds of counsellors thought that that kind of experience could be helpful to therapy. The other thing is, when they looked at asking therapists whether they experienced some kind of sacred moment in therapy or whether there was a kind of experience that seemed to particularly help their clients, then just over 50% could identify a sacred moment. So this sense of some kind of extra great meaning to it, if you like. And I think of synchronicity as being like a particular type of sacred moment.
Mm. And I suppose, though, when you're using words like sacred moment, people start saying, oh, Chrissy, are you talking religion here?
Yes, and that's where I say, well, I actually started off as an atheist working as a psychologist, certainly an agnostic, but then when I read about synchronicity, I heard too many people having these remarkable stories, and also I saw that many people did have spiritual or religious beliefs that helped them, but some of the research in the last 5 years is quite striking by people like Ken Pargament, a professor in the positive psychology field, who's found that when people believe that they have a sacred aspect to their work, for example, they think of themselves as having a calling, or if they see their relationship as being somewhat sacred, as in meant to be, well, then people, say, with relationships deal with conflict better. The relationships tend to be more sustained, more positive feeling in their relationships. If people have a sense of calling in their work, then they tend to be able to work more effectively, achieve more, deal with stress better, manage conflict better. So there's this hard-nosed evidence these days that if people sanctify those roles or see a spiritual dimension to them, it's very helpful for mental health and well-being.
And of course, spiritualism, as you say, is not necessarily religion as we know mainstream religion. It's that sensation of, or their feeling that there is a higher order, that there is something, you know, the meaning of life, to quote Monty Python.
That's right. And sometimes I hear people say something to the effect that they don't see themselves as being particularly spiritual, but then they might refer to something about the universe or make a comment like something being meant to be, or otherwise they'll show at least a degree of openness that maybe there's something more there. So I think if we know that can be good for mental health, there's no point knocking it if it works for people.
So in your book, because it's a very enticing title, The Positive Psychology of Synchronicity, Enhance Your Mental Health with the Power of Coincidence. That's terribly enticing, because if I can enhance my mental health by coincidence. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, what I want you to do is tell us what are the keys to using it to enhance your mental health in the power of coincidence. 131-873 is the number. If you've got some thoughts you'd like to talk about, your coincidences, give us a call. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Saturday Night with Sally Coburn.
I'm joined in the studio by Chris Mackie. He's the author of Positive Psychology of Synchronicity, Enhance Your Mental Health with the Power of Coincidence. He's the resident psychologist on Channel 9 show Destination Happiness. You can catch it tomorrow on 9 Now.
Nine Life. I should mention the host of the show is Angie Hilton. And Angie starts off that show each week. The introduction is about how she went through depression and anxiety many years ago and then looked to research it and find ways around it. So a lot of the show reflects Angie's hero's journey.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic. Your website, if people want to know more, is synchronicityunwrapped.com.au. On the line is Damien. Hello, Damien. You there, Damien? Oh, Damien.
Hi, Damien.
No, I think Damien's gone. No. We'll get Damien back. You there now, Damien?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Right.
Sorry.
Excellent. That's right. About 30 years ago, I was very much into Arthur Koestler, and I went to the State Library to do some research on synchronicity, and I wanted to get a book out. So I asked the person at the counter, how do you get the book out? And they explained this really long explanation. I thought, no, I won't worry about it. So I went back to the book, opened up the opened up the book in the middle of the page and there was a form already filled out for me.
Ooh.
Fantastic. I like that.
It makes you feel good, doesn't it, Damien?
It does, absolutely. So I didn't have to fill the form out, didn't have to work out how to do it and took it out and always been interested in synchronicity since. I love it.
Yeah, I sometimes think of synchronicity, Damien, as a free kick from the universe. Like the universe provides. That was another example.
Exactly.
Thanks for your call, Damien.
Thank you.
That was great. Thank you. Hello, Pam.
I find the conversation so interesting. Mm. The idea of it's meant to be, I mean, the idea is just simply to make the best of everything.
Yep, that's a good
point. And I think of people going, I'm retired, but people going to work or, you know, spending so many hours and it's so often a drag to get there. I mean, make the best of it. I mean, everything can be enjoyed.
You're absolutely right, Pam. In fact, the other day I had to go and do some work a long way away and I had to get regional rail because I've broken my arm and they wouldn't let me drive. And I thought, it's going to take ages and la, 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 la. And then I got on the train and I thought, you know what? This is fabulous. I could sit there, I could do whatever I want, I could read my book, look out the window. You're absolutely right. When you think about it, make the best of a situation.
You put it well, Pam. Showing gratitude for situations too, that's one of the best things for our mental health.
Mm. And looking at the sky, listening to the birds, mindfulness. Eh?
Yeah, you're wonderful. Absolutely right. And look, and Pam, I don't know about you, but I find magpies do that for me. When I hear warbling magpies in the morning, I feel in really in tune with things. Do you like magpies?
I adore them. And the butcher birds. And the pied butcher bird, the song is exquisite.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And just hearing these birds, I love it. Oh, the other ones are the rosellas. We've got fruit trees and sometimes the rosellas just swarm and it's just magnificent. Nature is gorgeous, Pam. You are so right.
You relish.
Indeed. Thanks for your call, Pam. Thanks very much. So, Chris, synchronicity, this is what we're talking about. Pam's encapsulated it as a sort of just being grateful for lovely things happening.
Yes, and appreciating maybe that larger view of the universe as being benevolent in some ways. But that also means that when we do go through challenging situations, and every hero's journey involves that, then it's making the best of that. If we think of the best things we've got out of challenges or experiences in our life, or the most worthwhile lessons we've learnt, often they will have come out of hardship.
Indeed. Look, I think, the synchronicity of what Josie was saying earlier in the show and what you're saying is just phenomenal, that hardship can be turned into a positive. It's incredible. Now, Carl Jung, you referred to, he defined this, very famous. When was that?
Yes, so especially in the 50s he was talking about it, but he was developing his ideas from about the 1920s, partly after conversations with Einstein about 100 years ago. And actually, Jung didn't write about synchronicity until one of his former clients, Wolfgang Pauli, encouraged him to write about it. Wolfgang Pauli was one of the fathers of quantum physics. And he said to Jung, hey, I know you've wanted to write about this. I'll encourage you to write about it. I'll write something with you if you write about synchronicity. So the seeds of synchronicity have a whole lot of support from mainstream advanced science.
Which is pretty amazing. But again, you don't have to know how a microwave works for it to make you happy to cook your dinner. And a lot of people will say, oh, you can't explain that with evidence, therefore poo-poo.
Yeah, but what we can say is these experiences, they help with a sense of connection.
Yeah.
They add with a sense of something larger. And so the main things I encourage people is, I put it like this, be open to being open. Mm. Notice what you notice. See the things in the coincidence that stand out to you. Use your intuition as to what it might mean. If you get a feeling you're being nudged in a certain direction, then perhaps act on that. Test it out. Look for the evidence. See how it works for you. Many people find that works well for them.
I like to, if something adverse happens, I like to actually think about what have I learned from this that can be positive. And maybe, is that a form of this type of thinking?
I think it is. Actually, when it turns out, I think there's a wonderful Mexican proverb that says, nothing is false and nothing is true. It depends on the crystal that you look through.
Ooh.
Similarly, good and bad, they're different sides. Sometimes almost of the same coin. What looks terrible, like me going through being hospitalised for depression when I've been a senior psychologist for 5 years, I thought that was the end of my career. Again, as I say, one of the most worthwhile learning experiences I've had.
I can tell you, as a medical practitioner who's been in intensive care, 15 minutes away from death with a clot to the lung, there is nothing better for clinicians and health workers to experience the other side of the chair or the stethoscope. I totally agree with
you
on that one.
It helps for compassion, doesn't it?
We have to take a break and we'll come back with more after this.
Until 10, you're listening to Saturday Night with Sally Coburn.
Chris Mackey, author of The Positive Psychology of Synchronicity, Enhance Your Mental Health with the Power of Coincidence. I take it people can purchase your book in bookstores?
Yes, they can. And so it should be any Australian bookstore you can go into. There's also an audio book that's out now too on Audible. Yes.
And you've got a Facebook page.
I do. Chris Mackey, psychologist and author, and put up new articles, videos about synchronicity so people can access their Chris Mackey, psychologist and author.
I'm loving this synchronicity. I'm going to avidly read your book because I feel I have a synchronicity with my puppy dog. And you mentioned what that is.
Zoea. Zoea is a term meaning the well-being that we get from pets. That's where we have a happy pet segment on Destination Happiness as well.